If you turn to two locations in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 6, I want to say, as you're turning, I've been promising you a possible series on the promises of God. I keep promising you. How many knows God's a little better with his promises? And it's coming. But several weeks ago, and I don't know, we may just spend today with this, but there was some final business that we need to take care of that I want to do this morning. And then also tonight, Lord willing, and in Pentecostal churches, we're always opening to reordering. Amen? But Lord willing, I'm going to preach about the biggest thing about Satan tonight. The biggest thing about Satan, and Lord willing. But if you turn to those scriptures, and if you'd stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 26. I'm reading this verse just to establish a fact. And it says, if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself, how shall then his, Satan's, kingdom stand? I read this verse to establish the fact that Satan has a kingdom. Satan has a kingdom. Then our text this morning is Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. And we're not going to exposit this verse. We're just going to use it to establish the reality of the world we live in. This is not just Paul's world. This is our world. This is the world of the believer. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, it seems like there's a whole lot against us, and there is. But I will remind you what Paul said, if God be for us, who can stand against us? I want to preach this morning on the other kingdom. The other kingdom. I believe there's a behind-the-scenes force at work orchestrating the destruction of man and the attack on God's people. Let me just do this before we pray. How many could lift a hand and honestly say that sometime in the month of July, maybe today, you have been under some kind of attack? Look at this. Look around. Certainly. I mean, this is serious. This is why we don't play at church. That's why church isn't a place just to get a little spiritual massage and say, well, I feel better for the week since I went to church. I mean, this is about battle. This is about folks under attack. But how many believes what we're saying? There is victory in Jesus. In fact, victory isn't just something Jesus gives. Victory is who Jesus is. If you have Jesus, you have victory. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, shut up our hearts to the truth. Remove every distraction. Lord, I pray there be a sense of eternity in this service. Lord, you know what you're doing. Lord, I pray that my words will be used by your Spirit to minister to folks. God, help us, oh God, to have victories that are realized in this service. Lord, and tenacity and strength to hold on for those victories that are going to be ensured in the future. Now, Lord, bless the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Brother Blue was asking me about this. It seems that there's a fad now, a fascination with a so-called coming zombie apocalypse. Now, I don't know if you heard about this or not, a zombie apocalypse. For you that don't know, a zombie is an animated human corpse. It's a corpse that's come back alive that feeds on human flesh. Now that's gross, that's awful, that's dark, but that's a fascination, a current fascination of our society. Amen? So a zombie is an animated human corpse that feeds on human flesh, but a zombie apocalypse is a belief that there's going to be a massive outbreak of animated corpses that are going to move on living humans to the human's destruction and the end of the world. This is believed on so much because in part we've had real life events lately. You've heard of them in the news of people cannibalizing other people, literally going out of their brains, out of their minds, and cannibalizing other folks. How many has noted those incidences in the news? And that's been one thing that has spurred this belief of a zombie apocalypse. In fact, it got so widespread that some folks were positing that there was actually a virus that was getting a hold of folks and making them go deranged to emulate zombies. It got so bad that the government, the CDC, put out a statement assuring people that, in fact, there is no virus leading people to act like zombies and cannibalizing others. The best they can figure, one of the common denominators, is people have been smoking and using bath salts as drugs, and these things have made people go out of their brain. Now, I want to say I share that because that's the fascination of our world. That's where our world is at. And our government had to assure folks that that's not going to happen. But I want you to know, zombies do not exist. Aren't you glad to know that? There will not be an army of zombies marching against the living to destroy humanity and cause the end of the world. Zombies do not exist, but evil does. Evil does exist. And I want you to know this morning, there is an army of evil led by that wicked one, led by Satan, the devil. And that army is on a march to destroy humanity. This army does not devour people's bodies. This army devours the souls of men, the hearts of men, the lives of men. I think today folks need to recognize the truth about the true nature of our world. I want to know there is an unseen world at work in the seen world. There are forces at work behind the scenes, beneath the surface. And these are powers that are motivating the wickedness that's encroaching and advancing and undermining in our world, in society. Evil is on the move. Evil is on the march. Amen. The evil things that's been happening in our world, in our lives, are not just coincidences. They're not just accidents. They're not simply mishaps. There's a power behind the scenes orchestrating the destruction of man, the attack on God's people. I want to say it again. The world may be caught up in zombies. They're not real. Satan is. There's not a zombie virus. But there is sin and evil and darkness in our land. We've had this week that shooting in the theater. The only thing I want to say about that, it ought to be further evidence of what I'm telling you this morning, that evil's on the march, that there's a force set upon destroying man. But it's more than that. Hear me this morning, everybody that occupies a pew. Amen. It's not just the world at large. There is a force of evil set upon destroying you. And if you're married, destroying your marriage. And if you have a family, it's set upon destroying your family. There's a force at work that would like to take every Christian and give them such a time that their love for God grows weak and cold, and they lose out with the Lord and lose their eternal salvation. There is an evil other kingdom at work. That's why I'm glad to know this morning that I belong to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I've already preached about that other kingdom, and I'm preaching about this one this morning to let us know what we're up against and what we're going to be facing. I'm not saying it's going to win. I'm not saying it's going to do us in. I'm not going to, because I've read where Christ already has his foot on its leader's head. I've already read we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. So I want to establish this morning these points. First of all, there is another kingdom. There is another kingdom. You see, we recently have finished a series on Jesus' parables. And I know, to the point of redundancy, I kept saying and preaching that the parables, like the gospel, have but one theme: the kingdom of God. Over and over I preached The kingdom of God is wherever Christ rules, wherever Christ is in control and command. So when I finished with the parables and talking about the kingdom of God, I thought I was done. But when I tried to leave that series, I kept hearing the words that I entitled this message with. You've talked about the kingdom of God, but there is another kingdom. There is another kingdom, the kingdom of Satan. This other kingdom is against the kingdom of God. It's adverse to the kingdom of God. It's set on resisting and overcoming the kingdom of God. And so I want to reemphasize, as certainly as there is the kingdom of God, there is the kingdom of Satan. And if the kingdom of God is wherever God rules, wherever God is in power, the kingdom of Satan is wherever Satan rules, wherever Satan is in power. Amen. I'm telling you, that's why it's important to be a child of God. Because if you're not under God's rule, you are under Satan's rule. Where did this other kingdom come from? Amen. You see, the Bible teaches, and this will be brief, but once Satan was cast out of heaven for his rebellion, because he rebelled against God. When he was cast from heaven, he was given earth to serve as the home of his kingdom. Three times in John, Jesus refers to Satan as the prince of this world. John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. 14:30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. John 16:11. Jesus said, the Spirit's coming to convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, he refers to Satan as the god of this world, that hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He's the God, he's the ruler of this world. Paul said in Ephesians 2 and verse 2, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according, listen, to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now, right now, today, worketh in the children of disobedience. So Satan is a prince, he's a god, he's a ruler, and his kingdom is this world. He is the prince and the power of the air. That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing more than with economic problems and social problems. Even we're dealing with one that has his talons around this world and controls him. In fact, John says in his epistle that the whole world lieth in the lap of the wicked one. Satan has control of this world. Not final control, not ultimate control. He has temporal control in this world. He's the prince of this world. On earth, we describe governments according to their type. We talk about democratic governments and socialist governments and communist governments and republican governments and monarchies and dictatorships. But spiritually, there are only two governments. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, and every man is ruled by one government or the other. Can you say amen? You see, here's the problem. Listen to me. Today we have a church that doesn't want to say anything is sin. But by the same token, we have a society and a government that doesn't want to call anything evil, except those that stand for this truth. Amen. Amen. None in the political realm, none in the academia of the postmodernists, each has their own truth. None of the relativistic mindset, none of the liberal enlightened want to concede that there's any such thing as evil, much less a whole kingdom of evil ruled by a ruler of evil destroying this world. That's why in our society you can't call a terrorist evil. You can't call what he did evil. You can't call sexual perversion evil. You can't call lying evil. But I'm here to serve notice that the reality of things is there is evil in this world. And evil is on the march. And evil seeking to get and keep the upper hand and keep every arena of human existence under its power and destroy every home and ruin and pollute every heart. Even Paul said in 1 Timothy, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, anyone here believe we're in the latter times? Amen. In the latter times that some shall depart from the faith. I know I've got to get through this, but this is what I was talking about in my heart this morning, praying for those you see moving back and dropping out and not being involved. It scares me because it says here in the latter times, there'll be those that depart from the faith. Why? They're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Even I want you to know, unleashed on our world, attacking the church, attacking the belief, our whole massive regiments of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and to deceive the church, they don't stand on a street corner and preach their doctrine of the devil. They preach it in the church. They preach it on religious airways. Amen. That's why we must know the truth. Amen. These seducing spirits is the army of the other kingdom on the march. Amen. You don't believe it. Let me ask you some questions. If you don't believe this army's on the march, why else would our leaders do the very things that would destroy our nation and a huge portion of the populace agree with it? If there's not evil on the march. Why else is homosexual marriage accepted and lauded? Why abstinence is ridiculed and mocked? Why else are there so many believers turning from God, having loved this present world? Why else does Hollywood promote everything that is perverse and evil and demonic and mock everything beautiful and good and wholesome? Why else do we live in a time when academia calls evil good and good evil? Why else is there a rise of suicide and depression and out of control behavior? I know people are free will moral agents and make choices, but there is a power at work on people. There is an evil in our world. It's time we don't play games and get philosophical and try to seem very intelligent. It's time we face the reality of things. We are at war, and evil is at march in this world and in our nation and against the church and against the home and against the believer. It's time, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might and put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in this evil day. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Victory in Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Second thing I want to establish, the other kingdom is at constant war with God's kingdom. Ever since Satan rebelled, there has been war between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. This is not Lord of the Rings stuff. This is reality. Amen. There really is a battle, a war. Now look, I want to make something clear. Satan's kingdom cannot and will not ultimately win. Who believes that any of these terrorist groups could stand up and face America's armies on a battlefield and win? Can't do it. Satan knows he cannot win. So he is operating terrorist groups against people. Well, if Satan's not going to win, why be so concerned? Well, listen. An army can win, speaking of the kingdom of God, and still suffer awful casualties. And even though I know Satan can't win, we got to do battle or else there will be casualties. Hallelujah. I not only want to be in the winning army, I want to make sure there's no casualties. Amen. You see, the battleground of this battle is fought over the soul of man. We should not be surprised that when even we as believers come under attack. You know why we shouldn't be surprised? Because it's we, the believers, that are the only ones, because of God with us. We, the believers, are the only ones that will stand between the kingdom of Satan and his conquering and controlling and his rule in this world. Who else is going to come against Satan? It's the people of God. Amen. If you do not recognize what an awful battle that we're in and what an awful struggle is going on for your soul, it could be because you're no longer on God's side. And there's no battle because you've already been taken captive by Satan at his will. I don't like a spiritual battle. But let me tell you, church, one thing a spiritual battle is evidence of. It's evidence that you're still on the right side, doing the right thing. Oh, how you can get up and pray, feel in the presence of God. He'll try to make you doubt it before you get through those doors. But that's just evidence what you got really was real, or he wouldn't be giving you all the trouble over it. Is that right? Anyone with me this morning? Hallelujah. I want to establish, secondly, though I've been alluding to it, everything belongs to one kingdom or the other. The question is this morning, whose side are you on? There are some simple questions. Did you know that a person's lifestyle answers the question, whose side are they on? I'm sorry, I cannot accept that you can do all the things of the world, love what the world loves, love the very entertainment the world loves, love the same kind of music, love the same kind of lifestyle, and still be on the side of the Lord. I'm telling you, if I was an American soldier back in World War II, brother, I would have never put on a Nazi uniform. I'd want everything about me to mark that I was an American soldier. And when you're on God's side, you want everything about your life to mark you as a soldier in His kingdom. Amen. One's choice of movies, choice of books, video games, music answers the question, whose side are you on? You say this is foolishness, not when there's a battle going on. One's attitude, one's desires, one's motives, one's response to preaching and to church answers the question, whose side are you on? You see, Jesus put it plainly in Matthew 12 and verse 30. He that is not with me is against me. He that is not with me is against me. I want to see the hand of everyone that is with him. Hallelujah. That's the army of the Lord. Everyone, every person belongs to one kingdom or the other. I've talked about Satan's rebellion at the beginning of human time, but as certainly as one third of the angels of heaven chose to be a part of Satan's kingdom rather than a part of God's kingdom, as certainly as that took place, from that point on in human history, each man, each boy, each girl, each teenager, even today, makes the choice of what kingdom he's going to be a part of. Hallelujah. Amen. What kingdom are you going to be a part of? You say, now wait, amen, I haven't yet made that decision of whose kingdom I'm going to be a part of. But I'm telling you, if you have not yet chosen to be a part of God's kingdom, that means you're already a part of His kingdom, Satan's kingdom. You see, to be a part of God's kingdom is to say, I give my life, I surrender all, I give myself to the Lord. No one can say, I'll be in neither. I won't be in the kingdom of God, but I won't be in the kingdom of Satan either. You can't say that, because the Bible said, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. Even everything has a source. Everything fits into a category. Everything is defined by its nature. Let me give you this. Would you stay with me on this and help me out here? There's a fascination in our society. I've already mentioned the alarming thing is Christians are getting caught up in it. Zombies and vampires. Let's just do a little test here. Let's take zombies and vampires. The first thing we got to realize, everything that exists can be put in one or two categories, natural or supernatural. How many agree with me? Everything that exists is either natural or supernatural. So what category? Maybe they're not real, but even the idea of them. What category would zombies and vampires fit in? Natural? Is it natural for the dead to be reanimated? So it fits in the supernatural category. Now, let's deal with this. If it's in the supernatural category, the Bible teaches it'll be in one category or the other. It'll be either supernaturally evil of Satan, or it'll be supernaturally good of God. So let me ask you a question. Zombies, vampires, is that supernaturally good and of God? Then there's no option. It's supernaturally evil and of Satan. That's why a Christian should have no part with this. Vampires, zombies are not of the kingdom of God. They are of the kingdom of Satan. It's only two. It's that simple. You say it's not that simple. I beg to say that it is. You say, well, those things aren't real. No, but the imagination of them, the fantasy, the source of that fantasy, the source of that imagination, which kingdom did it come from? As certain I am that there's an anointing to write Christian songs and sing them, as there's an anointing to prepare sermons and preach them, there is an anointing for the scripts of those movies that glorify these sayings. But that anointing does not come from God's kingdom. It comes from the other. Let me give you one more illustration. Some people say, well, some of these things have white magic in them. White, how many's heard the term white magic? That's kind of like saying there's round squares or square circles. Because you read the scripture from Old to New Testament, and the things that are done even in white magic, God condemns and says they are not of me, and you're not to have any involvement in those things. If vampires and zombies are harmless imaginations that are good for entertainment consumption, why then do those seeking to emulate zombies and vampires do such evil? If it's wholesome entertainment, why do those that get absorbed in that culture do such evil? You say, pastors, is it really this simple? I beg to differ if you disagree. It is this simple. There's two kingdoms, and everything belongs in one or the other. In fact, I would be this strong. If something really meshes with, gets along with, is in harmony with this world, it is not of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I want to give you one more note here. We'll move on. But I'm convinced that a person doesn't just decide to leave the kingdom of God and live in a place of his own choosing. If a person leaves the kingdom of God, he enters the kingdom of Satan. Just as sure as you enter the kingdom of God by being born again, to turn your back on God and leave his kingdom is to walk in to the kingdom of evil and darkness. Last of all, I want to make this note. One must be delivered from the other kingdom. You don't just walk away. You need to be delivered. That's why I'm glad I know who the deliverer is. If we're saved this morning, it wasn't because we decided one day we had enough and we were just going to walk away from our past life and sin. If we're saved, it's because the Holy Spirit came out to get us, and Jesus came and he broke the fetters and the chains, and Jesus set us free. Hallelujah. Glory. You say, well, I was just a child. I never done anything really bad. I know, but he still sets you free. Glory to God. Even Revelation chapter 16 says, a fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. And here's the kingdom of the beast, which is in fact the kingdom of Satan. And his kingdom was full of darkness. His kingdom is always full of darkness. But Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, we're giving thanks unto the Father who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You didn't just walk into the kingdom of God because you decided you wanted to be a part. You were in the clutches of the evil one. You were in the prison of Satan. But the rescuer came. He that has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he opened the prison doors and struck off the chains and took you out of the kingdom of darkness and translated you, put you in to the kingdom of God. Aren't you glad you belong to the kingdom of God? Oh, hallelujah. Some of us older folks remember the Cold War years and the Berlin Wall. Those communist countries had to build a wall to keep their citizens in. You couldn't leave just because you wanted to say, I've had enough of the Soviet Union. I want to go to West Germany. You can just pack your bags and leave. They wouldn't let you leave. And I'm telling you, Satan's the same way. He has his walls and he just don't let people leave. But I'm telling you, if Jesus hears somebody on the other side of the wall of Satan crying out for help and mercy, he'll come, he'll bust down the wall, break down the gate, pull them out and bring them into the kingdom of light. How many's been translated to the kingdom of the dear Son? Oh, hallelujah. He wants to do it. Hallelujah. Let me read these scriptures and I'll be done. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled. Remember those principalities and powers I was telling you about that we're fighting against? He spoiled those principalities and power and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And another place it said, he led captivity captive. That means if Brother Rose, grab a hold of me. Brother Rose has me in captivity. Jesus came along, and the one that had me in captivity, Jesus put him in captivity. Think about it. The one that had us in captivity, Sister Norvell, Jesus has put him in captivity. I'm telling you, we shall overcome. We shall triumph. Know whose side you're on. Make sure you're in the kingdom of God, and then you can know we will overcome. You can't fight the battle on your own, young people. You'll lose. Ultimately, you'll lose. But give yourself to the Lord, all to Jesus. I don't have one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in the world. I'm in this all the way. If you'll be in the kingdom all the way, I can assure you victory. I can assure you'll overcome sin and Satan and society and self and sickness and everything else. We're going to overcome. Would you come, music? We're living a time when people recognize and talk about the awful, bitter rancor in this political, presidential campaign. There's a fierce battle going on. But it's nothing, not near as nasty and bitter and heated as a battle that's going on for men's souls. The campaigns are fighting over votes, but Satan's fighting for souls. You know, we could talk all day about this, but I'm not going to. Don't want to scare you. I didn't want to scare you with that comment. We're not going to. But I want to reinforce one more time, there is a battle more fierce than ever going on for the souls, the homes, the marriages, the children's, the nation, the world. Is that right? It's fierce. It's awful. But I want you to know, we're going to win this battle. It's not that God's on our side. It's that we are on God's side. It's not just that he's in our home, it's that we are in his kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. How many feels victory in Jesus in the house? That's why every pre-service prayer meeting is important. We're praying for that service, that there be victories in the kingdom for that service. That's why your personal time with the Lord is important. We're in a battle. I could talk all day, and so I started to say, but let me just close with this little illustration. It meshed with my thinking because I've been here. Preacher was talking about years ago. He was doing door-to-door ministry. He knocked on the door, and there was a lady that came, a young lady, young married lady, young mom. He could see that she didn't know much about church or the gospel. So he began to share the gospel with her, and he said, I saw conviction come upon her. And I told her about the cross and what Jesus had done. And then I asked her if she wouldn't want to have eternal life and have Christ in her life. She said, oh, yes, sir, I would like that. He said, would you like to pray with me? And she said, I'll pray with you. He said, well, just repeat. She didn't know anything about church. He said, just repeat after me. And he said, I started the words, Father, thank you for sending your son, Jesus. And she started to repeat. She said, Father, I thank you that you sent your son, G. And her car that was sitting in the driveway began to honk incessantly. Now, you got to understand, this was years ago before they had that capability to them. It was not a car alarm. The woman looked up in surprise, and the horn is blaring over and over and over again. He said, we went to the automobile. She got her keys. We got in it. We punched on the steering column, and the horn wouldn't quit honking. We did everything. We couldn't get to quit honking. He said, finally, I had to lift the hood and unplug the horn. And then he said, ma'am, let's continue our prayer. But he said he could see that it was almost completely gone, what God had been doing. And he dealt with her a little longer and began to pray with her. And she did pray and came to know the Lord. But he said, at that moment, he said, you can say what you want to, but there was a devil that set that horn off trying to keep someone out of the kingdom. And that's just a simple illustration. But you know what I thought of when I read that? There's people in this congregation, down deep, you really do want to serve the Lord. You really do want to walk with Him. You really do want to do right. But lately, Satan's been blaring his horn and distracting you and taking your focus off of Christ and the things of God. And over, there's the blaring of his horn. Our God's big enough to unplug the horn this morning, so he can talk to you. Hallelujah. Don't be distracted. Don't get distracted over little things and hurt feelings and what someone said or someone did or what someone made. That's not worth it. That's just a blaring horn. I believe God can unplug the horn for you this morning so he can talk to you and help you and get you in the place that you know you're in the kingdom of God and there's no demon in hell that can touch you. Hallelujah. Let's stand and worship him. If you're in the kingdom of God, lift your hands and say, thank God. Amen. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Through him, we're in a battle. Don't let anything keep you from the kingdom of God. God, hallelujah. Continue to worship him as a saint to worship him. I wonder if there's anyone here, amen, you need set free from the kingdom of the evil one. I'm not saying you're a bad person or you're an evil person. I'm just saying you can't say for certainty that you're in the kingdom of God this morning. You can't say that you've been set free. There's things and holds on your life, amen, shackles in your life. You need to be set free this morning. I want you to come to this altar right now. It's as simple as I painted it. I'm not saying I did a good job. I'm just saying it's that simple. There's a kingdom of God and a kingdom of evil. Amen. We're going to belong to one or the other. If you're old enough to know how to make a moral choice, you're old enough to make the decision. What kingdom are you going to be a part of? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. There's people born with dual citizenship, like my wife, depending on the nation's laws. Either the parents or that person has to make up their mind what country they're going to be a citizen of. have. We asked her the other day, she said, well, of course, he may have decided to be a citizen of the United States. Hallelujah, there comes a time you just got to make the decision. No more vacillation, no more in and out. Amen, I've just made up my mind. I'm going to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You'd like to make up your mind this morning. You hear? You haven't made up your mind. You'd like to make up your mind to be a citizen in his kingdom. Would you step forward right now? Come to this step we use as an altar and say, I'm going to be in the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I saw hands lifted all over the building a while ago of struggles, of battles with Satan. If you've known anything about a struggle and battle with Satan, you just want to come and reaffirm your position in the army of God. I want you to come, church. Amen. Say, yes, there may be struggles, but I'm standing firm. There may be a battle, but I'm not backing up. I'm not giving up. I'm not throwing in the towel. We're going to overcome. I said, we're going to overcome. What about a church? You want to come to say, I'm just sticking with it. I'm not going to turn back. I'm not going to let him discourage me. I'm not going to let his terrorism destroy me. Hallelujah. Fight. Every altar service, fight. Hallelujah. Let's seek him this morning. Oh, let's seek him this morning. Oh, yes. Let's seek him this morning. Let's seek him this morning. Church, if things are well with your soul, your family, remember our nation's in a battle right now. Our world's in a battle. It goes far beyond the visible political and terrorist groups. It's deeper than that. There's a battle. Stay on the Lord's side. Take up the shield of faith. Take the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Put on the whole armor of God.
Jesus is here.
Oh, come on, let's pray this morning. Let's pray this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Let's pray this morning.
Jesus.
If Satan's talking to you in this altar, he's a liar. He's a liar. Don't listen to him. Listen to the word of God. Listen to the truth of God. Hallelujah.
Jesus.